505 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. We are holding steady right there around 83, 84 degrees. And given what we went through the last couple of weeks, it's nice. It's nice. I'm able to sit here, got the windows open. Next couple of days seem pretty doggone comfortable. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to this upcoming trip, leaving in a couple of days for Israel. I will file full reports as best I can. But I want to see what exactly is going on over there for real for myself. What exactly is going on with my beloved former governor, Doug Wilder, suing in federal court the president of VCU? I don't know, which is exactly why I have asked Governor Wilder to join us. It is always an honor. It is always a pleasure to welcome Governor Doug Wilder to this program. Governor, thank you for being here, sir.
Yep, as you know, and I've told you every time I've had a chance to, how much I am proud to be on your show, and I know how well listened to it is, because people tell me, I heard you on the radio, and I don't go on everybody's radio show, and you know that, so it's great to be with you today. God bless.
Well, thank you, sir. I am always appreciative that you can make time for us. This is a big deal, I guess, with a lawsuit against VCU's president, Michael Rau. I know your attorney, I think, is there as well, just to make sure we cover all the pertinent issues. But,
yes, he is.
But give us some idea, Governor. What prompts this? What did Michael Rau do?
To make it simple. I will make it as simple as I can.
Okay.
That I was informed by Dean that I would be investigated by the police. For what? Well, the audit and review compliance said that I want to talk with you. I said, all right, so let me see what it is. So I did talk with them. They told me, and they got two different law firms to investigate me and to attack me. And I went to the building, to the office, and the two firms indeed talked to me, and they said that I was had created a hostile condition at the Wilder School. Tell me what it was. They said that I had been so I called Dean Gruden to uncontrollably break down and she has told an absolute lie that happened. And then I let the complaint, the person who's saying this, I'd be made to me that I can't even watch. So I find that to be a little unusual. I was not told the act that was done, when, where, and I was very fortunate to have Charles James. He has been a life friend of Al Dean. And heard of this, and he immediately wanted to make certain that it would be available to both of us. And it makes sense. He doesn't might not want me to say this, but he is someone with that note. You know, a lawyer right there. He's going to do anything for anybody with no charges. So he's on the line.
Okay.
Jeff, and you had another question before you wanted to ask him.
Well,
what would it be?
Well, Governor, I sit here and I'm just thinking of all the people in the world that could be accused of creating a hostile environment. And I promise I'm not trying to suck up to you, although I like you. You wouldn't even make like my top 50 list for people who could create a hostile environment. Charles James, I just want to identify you if that's okay, sir. Charles James is a legal counsel for Governor Wilder. And so, Charles, if that's okay, if I can call you Charles,
Absolutely.
So explain to us, you hear this, and again, look, I'm sitting here on the outside. I know some of the players. I know who Governor Wilder is. I've watched the man for decades. I love the man. And I know of all the people that are in Central Virginia that create a hostile environment, he ain't one of them. So what gives here?
You know, that's what we've been asking since the beginning of the investigation. They called the investigation a confidential investigation, and they asked Governor Wilder to come to the investigation, and they didn't want him to come with an attorney, or they didn't want him to come with representation. They just said that it was going to be like a chat. And we all know that that's not what it was and what it was intended to be. It was intended to be a straight attack on Governor Wilder's character. And it was without merit, and it's without any evidence. And so basically, you ask a question that we're going to get to the bottom of once we take this case fully to its full extent to trial. We're going to find out why this investigation is even taking place, because we haven't been able to get that answer. And we've had a transcript done. We've had a video recording done of Governor Wilder doing the interview related to this investigation, and we asked that question directly and have not gotten an answer to that question as of now, why Governor Wilder is being pointed to as a person who created a hostile work environment. And even Dean Gooden said that it wasn't true.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure it out ourselves. So you let me know. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I think, if you really care. And well, you may or may not. The governor, I think, probably may. It's because Governor Wilder has been the one guy talking about all this missing money and how VCU has paid money for something that we didn't get, right?
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that you got it, because no, you always. But see, the way that me is because no one else asked those questions.
Yeah.
Have you heard of any? And you ever this? I know that. Heard any? Has to even ask the question.
No.
Where did $100 million go? No. Then why are you talking about tearing a perfectly new building and to put another for honest? Oh, then they had to change that around. Well, I said, doesn't that discriminate? A new building for honor students? What about the scum like me that had to scrabble through the Abbey? So it's more than just Doug Wilder. I'm speaking for the people of Doug Wilder who are treated like this, and they need a voice, and we continue with taxpayers' expense.
Well, hell yeah. I mean, look, Governor, you've been speaking for the people your entire career, and you've been speaking for people who sometimes agreed with you and or didn't agree with you. It didn't matter. You were still speaking on behalf of all the people. And I do want to remind everybody. So this is now headed for federal court. Charles, let me ask you this one, because you're obviously the point guy on this. You're doing the legal stuff. Number one, now I am not an attorney, and even though my parents passed away years ago, they still regret the fact I didn't go to medical school or law school. But nonetheless, I'm not an attorney, but I'm telling you right now, whenever they tell you, oh, you shouldn't come with legal representation, that's when you need to bring two legal representatives with you. That's the process there, my friends. But what is the process for you, Charles? I have no idea how this federal system works. So what have you done? What should we look forward moving forward?
Basically, we filed a complaint with the 4th District, Eastern District in Richmond, and basically we have 30 days to let them respond to our complaint. And we feel like the allegations that we put in the complaint, they spell out directly what we feel happened in this situation. So they get an opportunity to respond to this over the next 30 days and give us an idea of what happened. And then we're going to go through the general court process, which we'll start, you know, going through discovery and things of that nature. And we'll start getting people to raise their right hand, Jeff, and tell the truth to what is actually happening here, and to come forth and let us know why they are picking on Governor Wilder to be a person that is a harasser because of the fact that he used his First Amendment right to speak up and say that he felt that President Rao was mishandling funds, and then all of a sudden he becomes the ire of his anger related to the money that's being spent improperly, and he wants to go after Governor Wilder for a contrived harassment claim.
And outrageous, outrageous. Is there money involved? Because this I know it's a defamation suit, and clearly this is calling into question the governor's character, all the rest of that stuff, you know, and those of us who love the gov are hearing it going, well, you know, that's just nonsense. But I'm sure there are people out there who are not as familiar with Governor Wilder. I'm like going, hey, well, I don't know. I'm reading it here. I'm hearing it here. There might be something. Is there a dollar figure associated with it?
Well, we're not associating a dollar figure with the case at this point because we're too new in the case right now. The case is too new. We need to look at it, and we're still determining because, as you know, Governor Wilder's been a public servant for 7-8 decades. And so if we're going to look and we're going to put a value or a dollar amount on that, we'd like to have the people of Virginia to speak on that as well. And so we're not going to put a dollar amount on it yet. And we still have a lot of stuff that we're looking into. So we'll come up with that as time goes on.
Well, I'm a people of Virginia.
Let me answer.
Yeah. No, I'm going to give you the answer, Governor. I'm going to give you the answer, Counselor. As a person of Virginia, I am suggesting $100 million because that seems to be the VCU president's favorite number, right?
Well, you know what? Go ahead, Governor.
Well, I was going to say that this whole thing was pushed on me, and for the life of me, yeah. I just don't understand it. I can tell you this: none of it would have taken, not a single minute of it. Michael Rao wanted.
Yeah. Well, Governor Wilder, look. You know, we love you. One of my favorite people, a devoted.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, son of Virginia has given his entire life to serve as counselor. I wish you well, and I hope you don't mind. We're going to call on both of you as this thing moves forward because I want to know. I want to know exactly what's going on as it as
absolutely.
It
the people need to know. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Katz. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That is Charles James, who is the legal counsel for Governor Wilder, and obviously Governor Wilder. And I know people saying, Jeff, Governor Wilder's phone wasn't great. You're right. His phone wasn't great. But even on a phone that's not great, Governor Wilder is better than most people whose phone is working just fine. I'm just going to tell you that. I think it's crazy. I really do. I think it's crazy that because Governor Wilder has been the only one publicly to call out about this money with President Rao apparently signing off on this idea that we're going to pay for a building we didn't build and we're going to do this. That's money. Look, do we not just about all of us either have a relative who is attending VCU or is going to attend VCU or attended VCU, right? It's a very large school. And it has a very large footprint. And most of us who are in Central Virginia have some connection to VCU. Now, maybe we didn't go, but you might have a family member who went. I guarantee you, you have a friend or a neighbor who is either an alum, is attending now, or plans to attend. So these are legit questions to be asked. And to accuse Doug Wilder of any sort of, well, anything. Man's 94 years old. 94 years old. Still sharp as a tack, by the way. But it just bothers me. So you heard what the governor and his legal counsel said. VCU President Rao has 30 days to respond to this case. It's been filed in the fourth district, and we'll hear what comes of it. We'll keep you up to speed, I promise you. 520, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 522, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. You know, tomorrow is National Night Out. We got all sorts of great stuff happening throughout Central Virginia. Our agencies invariably do an amazing job. Absolutely amazing. Now, I'm a little biased, but I will say that the Hanover County Sheriff's Office, I personally believe, does the best job with National Night Outs. And in fact, it's so good, we have it twice. So nice, we have it twice. Saturday was a big Hanover County Sheriff's Office National Night Out kickoff event, and that was over at Greentop. And tomorrow, of course, is the actual National Night Out. I don't know how many locations, 40 or 50 neighborhoods in the county. It's going to be great. A good close number two, my friends down in Chesterfield. Chesterfield County Police Department, every single solitary year, for as long as I've been here, 13 years, have outpunched their weight class when it comes to National Night Out. And I have no doubt that they will do that once again tomorrow. Henrico does a great job. The city does a great job. I mean, everybody does a great job. No doubt about that. I did just get a note, though, from Goochland County Sheriff Steve Creasy. There's been a death in the Goochland County Sheriff's Office family. It doesn't say who it is. I don't know if it's a deputy or a dispatcher or a family. I mean, I don't know. But Goochland is postponing their National Night Out tomorrow as a result of that situation. So everybody else should still be on track. If you're in Goochland, come on over to Hanover, visit, and enjoy our National Night Out, and, you know, then get out, because we don't have any room for anybody else in Hanover. That's our that's becoming our new motto. Great place. Hey, great guy. Jason Miara is the Attorney General of my beloved Commonwealth, is going to join us at 5:35. Don't you dare go anywhere. Oh, tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, please make sure that you are here for Richmond's Morning News with another buddy of mine, Rich Herrera. 5:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday evening. We are rolling towards Election Day. It's crazy to think, but we're less than 100 days out. You're hearing the reports there. President Trump apparently about to fully, totally, completely endorse Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears for governor. Excellent. I've got to tell you, we've got a great slate of candidates, a great slate of candidates with great accomplishments. I look at what Jason Miyares has been able to do during the last couple of years as the Attorney General of my beloved Commonwealth, and I am so grateful to him. With my Jason Miyares sign up out front, I still need one for the backyard, protector of the people. That's what he has done as AG. And I'm just thrilled he's got a couple of moments to join us. Jason, thank you so much for being here, man.
It is always great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about some of these CAs, these Commonwealth attorneys that we're seeing who have just decided, even though they've been elected as prosecutors, they're not all that interested in prosecuting crimes, having criminals arrested. I'm looking right up 95 at Steve Descano in Fairfax. What gives?
Yeah, I mean, you have these local district attorneys, we call them Commonwealth attorneys in Virginia, but they have decided that they'd rather be a social worker than a prosecutor. And, you know, our criminal justice system works when you obviously have defense attorneys playing their role, but prosecutors are there to seek justice, be the voice for the victims, and obviously prosecute felons and make sure they get off our streets. Well, too many of them decided, a lot of them have been elected by this left-wing special interest money. Soros is one of many that have been funding them. They get elected and they decide they're just not going to enforce the law. Descano has decided that entire categories of the law, they just won't prosecute. They won't prosecute any larceny related case of $1,500 or less. That's essentially legalizing theft. And so they consistently fail to do their job. This most recent incident, a horrific incident that happened up in Fairfax, Governor Youngkin has formally asked us to both investigate and report back to him and the people of Virginia the systematic failures in the Fairfax Commonwealth Attorney's Office. But yet an individual had 43 prior charges that have been thrown against them. So many of them essentially have been dropped. It gets picked up on an abduction charge. He essentially is given a no-cash bail, no-cash bond, gets out on July 15th. July 18th, there's video, horrific video, of this perpetrator being at the Fairfax County Mall abducting a three-year-old child. That's what happened, no-cash bond, which, by the way, my opponent, Jay Jones, in this race supports no cash bond. If your listeners aren't familiar what that means, it essentially means that you get arrested, even if you're a serial rapist, you're a murderer, and you get arrested, you could be released essentially with no penalty whatsoever if you fail to show up in court. It is essentially saying, I promise I'll show up in court, and you literally walked out the door. It's not like some of these cases you hear, like with P. Diddy, where they put these very large bonds on these individuals prior to trial. This doesn't exist in this world. No matter what the charge, no matter what the case, no matter how many charges you have pending, no matter what the threat is maybe to the victim, you're allowed to simply just walk out the door. That's essentially what happened in Fairfax. It was a no-cash bond that was granted. Jay Jones wants to make that mandatory for literally every single criminal charge in the state. This person was able to walk out and 3 days later try to abduct a child. And so the governor's asked us to get to the truth of the matter, which we've been proud to do, and other sensitive issues throughout our time. And we're going to, as I tell every investigator on my office, every prosecutor on my team, our job is to seek the truth, to be fearful, to be fearless, to be deliberate, but to seek truth regardless of the consequences. And so I'm very proud of the team that we have, and we're going to seek this without fear or favor.
Well, it is a great team that you have assembled, and the team that you've assembled, in all candor, has done exactly that. And I just have to assume here, as we chat with Jason Miyares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, that part of that must come from your background as a prosecutor. And you mentioned your opponent in this race, Jay Jones. Can you talk about his record as a prosecutor so we, you know, get us some information?
Let me explain to your listeners the top cases Jay Jones has prosecuted. Nothing. He has never prosecuted. He wants to be Virginia's top prosecutor. He has never prosecuted a single case in his life in court, and he wants to lead the largest division at the Attorney General's office is the criminal division. This is an individual that his entire career in the General Assembly is being a social justice warrior. He's shown zero interest in standing with law enforcement. Every time he has reached a fork in the road, he's had a chance to stand with law enforcement, to stand with victims, or stand with felons. He stands with felons. This is an individual who thought a bill that would require 60 days in jail for a repeat domestic abuser. He thought 60 days in jail for a repeat wife beater was too harsh of a sentence. He voted no. Another bill that would have had 12 months mandatory minimum. If you're an adult and you go on school property and you deal drugs on school property to a child, Jay Jones thought 12 months was too harsh of a sentence for you. He voted no. And what's worse is he has championed this early felon release program. Ralph Northam signed into law. He voted for it. He championed it. It essentially abolished truth in sentencing, which what we used to have in Virginia. If you do the crime, you do the time. He changed it. He basically allowed felons to get out with years on their sentence. This is something that every year as Attorney General, I have attempted to get this, bring back truth in sentencing in Virginia. Every year it has died on a party line vote in the General Assembly. Governor Youngkin has pledged to sign it if he got backed on his desk. It has never gotten to his desk to sign. And now we're stuck and we're saddled with this Northam era law that has led to disastrous consequences. 9,638 felons just in fiscal year 2023 got released early under the Northam J. Jones law. And just in less than 2 years, 49.8% have been rearrested. Mm-hmm. Over 53 Virginians have died, have been murdered by felons that were supposed to be behind bars that got out released early and murdered their victims. Over 100 Virginians have been raped or sexually assaulted by a felon that should have been behind bars, that got released early and hurt victims. That is the Jay Jones, soft Jay Jones record on public safety. You can't trust him. He's completely and woefully inexperienced for the job. Not only has he never been a prosecutor, his legislative record showed he has zero interest in what I think is your first job as Attorney General, which is being the people's protector and protecting the general public. He has shown no desire to do that.
Well, there's no doubt. Just looking at it from the outside, I remind everybody, Jason Miyares is the Attorney General, running for re-election, has done an incredible job. Our mutual friend, Mindy Applewhite, she lost her daughter as a result of that Ralph Northam, Jay Jones activity.
Yeah, I mean, Mindy Applewhite had an amazing daughter that similar where the I'm not going to call him a gentleman, he's a monster. treated his vehicle, got out early, treated his vehicle like a two-ton weapon, and hit her beautiful daughter going over 30 miles per hour over the speed limit. And, you know, it was absolutely so painful. And so that has been, I think, a real shift in my office, where I said from day one as attorney general, because I had talked to so many victims over the course of my career, both as a member of the House of Delegates and then also obviously early in my career as a prosecutor. But I had talked to so many victims that during the Northam years, they felt that they had been ignored. They were having these great debates about, quote unquote, social justice reform, criminal justice reform, but nobody ever talked about victims. And I had said from the beginning that I was going to be their voice. I was going to be a voice for victims. And you could go back and see, I did not always speak on the floor of the General Assembly, but when I rose to speak, so often it was on behalf of the victims of those the victims of crime. And I had said that I was going to make sure the Attorney General's office was going to get back to being focused on victims being their voice and going after the criminal felons that were creating too many of them in Virginia.
Well, you have truly been the people's protector for these past 4 years. This is another issue, I would assume. I mean, I don't want to assume too much, but these are the issues, I'm sure, that will be debated between yourself as the sitting attorney general and Jay Jones, who wants to be the attorney general, right?
Well, Jay has so far shown that soft Jay Jones is too scared to be on stage with me. I'm not actually surprised. They would require him to do something he's never done his entire career, which is actually prosecute something and prosecute the case of why they should hire him. And so he's never had to explain his record. He's always, when the few years he was in the House of Delegates before he quit, he was in a very, very deep blue district. And obviously he ran 4 years ago against Mark Herring. My predecessor tried to run to him against him from the left. And he's been in a Democratic primary. Unfortunately, so many of the legacy media outlets just refuse to ask him hard questions. But that's okay, because that's why we have spent a lot of time both raising the money so we can communicate directly to voters on how weak he is, our incredible record of public safety and being a voice for the victims, both criminal misconduct and corporate misconduct, holding those perpetrators responsible. So we're proud of our record as a people's protector. We know Jay can't defend his record, so I'm really candidly not surprised. We actually anticipated this, that he'd be too afraid to ever get on stage with me. And so that's exactly what we anticipated, and he's just proving exactly what I thought he was.
Well, I will hope that over the next 90-some-odd days you continue to share with everyone your record. It's one to be proud of. Share with everyone his record, such as it is. And I, of course, wish you nothing but the best. I look forward to having you back when your schedule allows it, because I think this is as important as the jobs of governor and lieutenant governor are, and I'm not minimizing them. I look at the attorney general as an ex-cop. You look at it as a former prosecutor and say, you're standing on that thin line, protecting my family,
yeah.
And I appreciate you.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's one of the most important offices in Virginia. I think the stakes going to be higher. And so, yes, I get the great joy of asking voters to rehire me to continue to protect them. Thank you for giving me that platform, and see you on the trail ahead.
Sounds great. Thank you. I'll remind everybody, visit jasonmiaris.com, jasonmiaris.com. If you are not familiar with all of the attorney general's accomplishments in office, great place to take a look at it. And you know what? You should visit the Jay Jones website as well. See what it is that Mr. Jones stands for. He won't get on a debate stage with the attorney general. He won't come on this program. He won't come on any program that I'm aware of. He won't go anywhere. He is just sort of counting on ultra leftists who care more about criminals than they do victims, care more about criminals than they do about cops. He's counting on them to somehow get him the AG's office so he can turn it upside down and inside out. I, for one, don't want that to happen. So, again, check out Mr. Jones, Jay Jones, his website, his information, and you make sure you go to jasonmiaris.com, jasonmiaris.com, because I'm here to tell you, I watched 8 years of Mark Herring, and I knew what an abomination it was. And I've watched almost 4 years with Jason Miaris, and I sleep better at night knowing that Jason Miaris is the attorney general. Simple as that. Simple as that. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my friend Rich Herrera is going to be here, Richmond's Morning News. I would urge you to check him out, okay? Again, he'll start his program, Richmond's Morning News, with Rich Herrera at 6 in the morning. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 5:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Monday. Man, that kind of flew by, didn't it? Wow. Thanks again to former Governor Doug Wilder. Thanks again to Attorney General Jason Meares. Thanks again to my dear friend Jamal Thomas joining us in that first hour. I will post everything about our big Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia Chipotle fundraiser tomorrow. It is not at every Chipotle, but tomorrow between 4 and 8, if you hit the best Chipotle in town, that's the one over right across from Willow Lawn, between 4 and 8, then a portion of what you order will in fact be donated to Team Katz Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. We're just trying to raise $100,000. There are four teams competing, and while I have had fun joking about some of the other folks, here's the reality. Every single one of these guys is a world-class dad. Honestly, if you knew what it took to be involved in, well, like this father figure thing, it's a lot of extra duties. Some of us have time, some of us don't have time, some of us try and make the time. I'm personally committed to this for a couple of reasons. I mean, I have three reasons at home with Harry, Julie, and Joe, but I'm also committed to it because of Pamunkey Regional Jail. Sounds a little weird, I know. My hope, just for the record, is that none of my kids go to Pamunkey Regional Jail. But I do know that there are some people who have had their kids go to Pamunkey, and I am hoping that for those folks who go to Pamunkey, they get a chance to get their act together, get stuff straight, and come back into society and be decent, functioning members of society. So that's why I serve as the lead instructor for the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia's Inside Out Dad program. And once a week, I head over to the jail and I spend a couple of hours with a classroom full of fathers. They're not necessarily dads. They'll be the first ones to tell you that. The reason they're in the class, these men, number one, they know they screwed up. I've yet to have a single solitary guy in any of these classes goes, yeah, you know, I didn't really do anything. And they're like, yeah, I blanked up big time. And I got to handle that. I got to man up. I'm going to handle that. But I worry about my son. I worry about my daughter. I worry about my kids. So good. But the program is not free. It's free to the inmates. And it's free to Pamunkey. We don't charge anybody for it. But we still got to pay for the books. And the books are not cheap. And every single student gets a book. So that's why one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about the Fatherhood Foundation of Virginia. There are a couple of ways that you can support us. If you go to the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook or go to Radio Katz on Facebook, you'll see the donation page there. $5, $10 would be great. $1,000 would be fantastic. Whatever you can give would be greatly appreciated. And tomorrow at Chipotle, the one across from Willow Lawn between 4 and 8, what you buy there, we will receive a portion, 25% of what they sell. So I would urge you to get the very largest of everything and then get an extra one. If you order online, it has to be between 4 and 8, has to be on the Chipotle app. And the special code is JPTT2BH, JPTT2BH. All right, tomorrow morning at 6, make sure you're listening to Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.